In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you are still off, many of you are, for the holiday, July 4th. Hope you had a great 4th. And today's the 5th. Mike and I are back at it. We are going to talk to our man, Big Hugh Douglas, coming up. He works at WIP now in Philly and a long time here in the ATL at 92.9 The Game. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. But before we get to some football conversation, Mike, you want to talk some soccer?
Yeah, man. Football with a U. That's football. I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of Spain and Germany. Holy moly. There was a handball, and Spain got away with one. And then Germany loses to Spain in extra time. So Spain does advance. But Germany's the host country. So needless to say, they're losing their minds. So I didn't know. You know, you and I, we've learned more and more about soccer the last, you know, eight years with Atlanta United. Apparently, when the ball hits you in the hand, I thought that was like, if it's in the box, that's a free, you know, it's a penalty kick. Apparently, there's intent now. So if your hand is like down by your side, like you're not waving your hand, you know, like Elmo trying to stop the ball. So I guess that's what the ref ruled. But a lot of folks around the world, I'm looking at the feeds on Twitter right now, are losing their minds that Germany got jobbed in their own country.
Yeah, and they usually have a great squad. I know in the last World Cup, they were terrific. I just... You know, after we lost, to be quite honest, you know, last night, I know Copa was on, right. And I did not watch. I was enthralled with fireworks and enjoying the day, mm-hmm. but I did not see the handball, but I saw reaction to it. So I need to check it out. I need to actually watch the footage and see it before I can make a judgment on it, but I did see people were losing their minds.
Yep. So it has been a lot of fun, man. But you're right. U.S., there's been a lot of folks. You know, we talked a lot about it on Friday's show, or I should say on Wednesday's show and earlier in the week. A lot of folks do feel that U.S. soccer does have to kind of rip it up or tear it down to the studs after going backwards this year in a tournament we were supposed to really, you know, go far in. Certainly, I'm not saying we're going to beat Argentina or Brazil or Uruguay, but still, it's just real disappointment. A lot of folks are going, what's going on with American soccer? One last thing on that. You know what a lot of guys are saying? Stop calling it the great generational team, because even though these guys are playing in Europe, they're not starting in Europe, right? So in other words, just because you're playing in Europe, but if you're riding the bench, you come here, you can't play 90 minutes. That's one of the arguments they've been making.
Yeah, I think they're in Europe because they make more money. Right?
Yeah, but you're good enough to get there, but you're not good enough to start there. That's the thing. So you're better than the average American or your predecessors. Now, Pulisic starts and a couple of the guys start, but it's just kind of been interesting. It always is fun, though, when you watch American soccer fans attack each other, because it's been like civil war on this issue since they lost to before they lost to Panama here in Atlanta.
I just have to say right now, and this is completely not soccer related, it's raining. I'm so happy. Hey. I don't know what it looks like where you're at, but I'm telling you right now, I just looked at the radar because I was like, is it really raining? And it is raining, and I am so happy. And I got to be honest, like, you guys know this. There have been times where we get so much rain, it's like, oh, and I've said this.
Right.
On average, for those who don't believe this, we get as much rain as Seattle. It's just how they get it. But we haven't. Right.
They get a continuous misty rain. We'll get big thunderstorms. Well, brother, I hope it. Dude, people are losing their minds in my neighborhood. It literally rained on one side of the street the other day. I'm trying to will it like I'm going to do a rain dance. You're like, please come this way.
Well, you have water restrictions, right, down there now? Is that right?
Yep. Yep. They at least for our parts of, I live in the northern part of Coweta County, but yeah, so can't be doing the watering. I mean, people are doing it. You're trying to sneak
well,
in at night.
No doubt. But I have not, we have not had that, and I've been able to water, but it's just, it's so damn hot, it doesn't matter. So anyways, I just literally got excited because I'm like, it's raining. Thank you. I don't know how long it's going to last, right. But I don't even care. I'm just looking at the radar now. I'm like, how long? It could rain for a day. I would not care. That's where I'm at right now.
The weather radar, you know, I've got the little blue dot, you know, on weather.com. It's supposed to rain down here at 5:30, so I'm not going to hold my breath
coming.
Because it's, I mean, I've said this to Chris the other day when you were off. I've literally become my dad. Man, we need the rain. I never thought I'd be that guy. I've done everything I swore I wouldn't do as far as the yard. Becky thinks I number the blades of grass like my dad did. Like zone 6, blade 1005 is out of position. I've become that guy.
Hey, heads up. We just got word, Steve Koonin, and we did not know. We had not talked to him since the start of free agency, but he is out today taking care of some business, so he will not be on the show as normal on this Friday, but we'll get a chance to catch up with him hopefully next week. So just for everybody that was looking forward to hearing from Steve Koonin and hearing about why maybe we haven't made some of the moves that we had talked about or at least gone after some of the free agents, he can answer that stuff for us next week, all right? Because it's not changing anything as we speak. So no Steve Koonin coming up a little bit later on. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, speaking of the NBA, Franz Wagner. 5-year, $224 million deal, rookie max deal with the Magic. Magic keeping that core together, Mike. This kid can shoot, by the way. This guy can flat out shoot. So they signed him. And I don't know if that was expected or not, but they're going to keep their guys together. And Banchero is there. They got a nice group. I don't know how much better they're going to be next year, but again, that was a playoff team this year. So that just came down. Speaking of, you know, signings and the Hawks and what we haven't done.
Yeah, I realize he's just a tick below 20 points a game. So, yeah, that's a nice piece. And Pablo Banchero, you talked about him. He's been money. And we're hoping that Reece Sache can get some of the traction. There was certainly a lot more expectation. Everyone kind of knew that Pablo was going to be that dude. But, you know, hopefully we'll get something from Reece Sache this season.
All right, let's talk some NFL, man. We mentioned this with our buddy Brian McFadden. But Dak Prescott, and this is what's concerning to me. It wasn't necessarily that the injury was revealed, and apparently he was in a walking boot while he was, you know, in Cabo San Lucas. It's they don't know how the injury happened. That's what's concerning. The Cowboys don't report to camp until the same day we do. I think it's the 24th of this month. So, you know, I'm sure he'll have to answer those questions to the media about what's going on, but they said it was a minor right foot sprain. He is no longer in this walking boot. But, Mike, how concerning is this to you if you're the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, how do you not know what's going on with your guy? I mean, it's, you know, like the old days, you know, everybody, if you, as you said, poor guy's just trying to enjoy some, you know, some R&R and somebody's got a camera phone and you see him in his boot. But that would be a little interesting. Now, we never really did get, if we're honest, we never did the clarity on just what exactly Bijan Robinson's injury was. We saw him looking fine walking around the facility, but he did something before the mini camp to tweak his ankle. But obviously when you're the quarterback of the Cowboys and they're about to, they're going to pay you, nobody knows what the freaking Cowboys are going to do, but yeah, on the verge of maybe getting paid $56 million a year to do it, yeah, I'd be a little upset.
I would too. I just want to know what the origin of the injury was, and like if he was working out or whatever, you know, great. I mean, stuff happens, but was it something silly? You know, was he water skiing? You know what I mean? And ended up hurting his foot, and then you now have to be concerned about it for the rest of the season. Let me ask Oren about Cam Newton and his comments, because he was asked if he was the best dual threat quarterback. And I want you to hear his answer. This is Cam Newton talking about dual threat quarterbacks. And if Lamar Jackson, he mentions Lamar Jackson in the soundbite. Listen to this.
Well, Lamar's style is a little different than mine. He got big play, any play.
Yeah.
Yes, he got speed that I never had.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just electric. And then, like, I play the game more powerful.
You're going to run through you. They might run around you.
Yeah, I can run, but I might probably get caught.
And he did. I mean, Mike, he got caught against the Falcons. People may or may not remember. Deion Jones laid a lick on him and concussed him. Yeah.
Right.
So that's interesting. But do you think if we were talking about best dual threat quarterbacks, Cam Newton? I mean, he was the MVP. Well, he did take them to the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, look, the thing with Cam Newton is, and I get it. He's still upset that he can't get any traction at this stage. He obviously wanted to keep playing. Is he could do some of the amazing stuff, but he sometimes would screw up the simple stuff. Like, you know, it would be talked about. Dave talked about it on the broadcast when we played Carolina. Sometimes he wouldn't set his feet for a high percentage throw that's in the flat that he would miss. But then, of course, he could uncork one 60 yards like a laser. So, to me, you know, he was solid. I just think that the accuracy was inconsistent at times. Otherwise, yes, he would have been a perennial MVP because he could go through you and over you.
Yeah, he was strong, man, no doubt. He was strong. Hey, let's hear our buddy Mark Schlereth talk about Lamar, since we just heard Cam Newton mention him. And he's right, Lamar is electric. But people are like, Lamar doesn't have weapons. And Mark Schlereth took offense to that.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bull from you anymore. Any of you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it.
Wow. Now, is Lamar Jackson not throwing these guys open? Is that what Mark is saying? Because Zay Flowers is a talent. Rashad Bateman, Aguilar, you know, he's a little long in the tooth, but he's still solid. Andrews has always been a big weapon at tight end. They went and got guys. Remember last year, who was on the old Giants wide receiver, ODB. Beckham was there for a minute. They gave him some weapons, Carl, and now he's got Derrick Henry. He's got one of the best running backs he's ever had.
Yeah, I'm with Mark on this. I mean, like,
right. He's got weapons. You got to coach him up.
I don't think we can make that excuse. There was a time where he didn't. It was true. It was like, if it wasn't Lamar and he wasn't running and carrying the team, then they weren't going to do anything. But I don't feel that way. I think they've done enough around him where we can stop using that excuse. Hey, Kalijah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Kalijah Kancey was talking about Baker Mayfield, Mike, on Jim Rome. I just want you to hear this because we talk about Baker Mayfield, and we all kind of feel like, all right, he's good, he's not great. They go to the playoffs last year. They were on the cusp of maybe making the Super Bowl. And as much as we're talking about our team or maybe even, you know, the Saints, which I don't think they're going to be as good, I cannot discount Tampa Bay. And we said this, they won the division last year, guys. They have to be the front runners or at least the favorite to start the season. Here is Kalijah Kancey talking about Baker Mayfield.
Baker is a guy who you want to run through a wall for. He's a guy that's going to leave it out on the line. He's very competitive. He's a great guy overall, helps out in the community. He's willing to give his last to anyone on the team or anyone in general. He's just a baller. He's a dog.
Now when you have teammates saying that kind of stuff, Mike, and again, I know in Cleveland it was crazy and coaching changes, but are guys buying into him that much down there in Tampa?
I just think in Cleveland it was such a blank show with the turnover, the coaching, with the offensive coordinators. You know, there was a lot of egos. It just seems like he's in a really good spot. And remember, last year a lot of folks thought it was just going to be a throwaway season. Well, you know, Brady's retired. Well, what is this team going to do? And then they go and they win. They kick the crap out of the Eagles and they had the Lions on the ropes in Motown for half a game. Right?
Sure.
The guy had a bunch of 300-yard games last year. Arguably one of his worst games, ironically, came against us down in Tampa. And then of course he came back here and beat us 29-20. You know, so I know that he's kind of a streaky guy, and I guess maybe that's the feel for, you know, maybe you don't respect him as much because you've also seen him put some clunkers out there. But I think he's certainly not going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he'll continue to do something. That's why I don't just simply say the Bucs didn't really add to their roster. There's not much there. We still got to beat those guys if we're going to win this division. They're still pretty good.
Yeah, they are, guys. One last thing, NFL Blitz. We're going to talk to our buddy Big Hugh Douglas. I want you to hear Texans wide receiver, Mike. This is Tank Dell talking about C.J. Stroud. We're high on C.J. Stroud. I think a lot of people realize he had an unbelievable rookie season. But Tank Dell says, Mike, he could be the best in the league.
For sure feel like C.J. got the opportunity to be the best quarterback in the league. Not me just saying it because who he is to me, but just like what I'm seeing him do every week, like what the world see. They seeing exactly what we seeing, man. How he's just coming out there and as a 21-year-old man, he going against, you know, grown man, you know, and he out there just balling every week. It's like how consistent he is. All that just play a factor. I feel like CJ got to just keep doing what he's doing to bridge the gap between him and Mahomes, man.
More smooth jazz on the way.
I was going to say, man, I like the soundtrack. Yeah, I love the name, Tank Dell. But yeah, man, they love this guy. It's the same things you hear about teammates, and that's why I think in Indianapolis, it's going to be amazing what Anthony Richardson's going to do this year, because you hear the teammates speaking the same way about him. So again, you got to win that team, you got to win that room, and certainly everybody knows what this guy's capable of, and that's why Houston is such a sexy team this season.
Guys, coming up, Hugh Douglas. We'll talk to him about the Eagles, but also the Phillies are in town to take on the Braves. What's the vibe there in Philly with the team that has the best record in the major leagues? Find out next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, Phillies in town. It's a big series. I think it's the biggest series of the season, simply because they come in 9 games in front of us, and this could be 12 by the end of the weekend if we don't handle our business. Big Hugh Douglas is here hanging out with your boys. He is now on in WIP middays up in Philly, and Big Hugh, man, it's always love. It's good to have you back on the show. How you doing, bro?
Hey, man.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Hanging in there, man. I mean, you know, the Braves, they're kind of on our nerves right now. I mean, in Philly, you don't have this problem because you guys have been so getting damn good all year, but that was us last year. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's the vibe up there, man? Does everybody just think, hey, let's get to October so we can handle our business?
You know what? That's the vibe. And as a matter of fact, my partner Joe Giglio talked about a few weeks ago how this was over, like it was over, and the Phillies were going to win the pennant and everything. And I'm like, hold up, bro, pump your brakes. Mm. Still got a lot of baseball left to be played, and I know that Brian Snicker is down there. He's trying to make some moves, man. Didn't I just hear y'all just sign Eddie Rosario?
Yeah, we yep. did.
Yeah.
I mean, but hey, you know what? But those were the type of moves that the Braves made when they won the World Series. I was there, and I told him. I said, listen, this team won a World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr., their best player. I said, so I think it's a little bit premature, even though you got a 9-game lead, just like you said. I think it's a little bit premature to say that it's over, because even now we're dealing with injuries and everything. You know, you got Kyle Schwarber that's out, Bryce Harper's out, JT Realmuto, he's hurt. So, you know, anything can happen, man. There's a lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, man, I know we got to wait another 3 weeks, Hugh, till the trade deadline. It just seems like, now, Rosario, they got him off waivers. Hopefully he can maybe recharge it. Duvall's back. But we need to get, like, a name. I'm just curious if we can find somebody, because we need a spark. We need to do exactly what you talked about in 21, where Jock Peterson was one of those guys in Solaire. And I just don't know if we can thread that needle, I've been saying to Carl all week, to find that guy, because Philly just looks unbeatable this season.
Yeah, they look pretty good, man. But like I said, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. The biggest thing that when I look at the Phillies, and I think is their strong suit, is their pitching, and there's no doubt. When you talk about the pitchers that they have, I know Ranger Suarez, he's been leaking a little bit of oil, but when you talk about Zach Wheeler and guys like that, you know, they've been pretty good for the Phillies. So and Christopher Sanchez, they've been pretty good. So that's what's been kind of holding them, especially when you talk about Bryce Harper and guys like that being out. That has really been a big piece why the Phillies have been doing so well.
We're talking with Hugh Douglas, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, he was a part of our radio station for a long time here in the ATL, and still
He's
calls
family.
It home, man. He still calls it home, and we're always happy to talk to Hugh. I want to also get into some football stuff with you, and I will, but I just want to ask you, as far as not getting it done last year, obviously that has had no effect on this team, right? I mean, they came close, but it doesn't happen. And a lot of times with the attitude in that city, and you know, Hugh, you know, it grinds on you. But the players have come back and responded. And you just talked about the guys even being without some of their stars. It hasn't brought them down, where I've seen other teams where it's affected them, where they didn't get it done the year before. And then they come back, they got the same team, hint, hint, and then they're not the same.
Yeah, And that's been the key. You know, the words that you use that they use a lot up here is called the vibe. And that's one of the reasons why they kept all the guys together. That's why when you look at this squad and you look at the pieces they potentially want to add, because for us, the outfielders, it's been kind of the hitting in the outfield has been not that great. When you talk about the guys that we have in the outfield, Brandon Marsh, Bohm, and guys like that, even though Bohm is starting to come out of it a little bit, they haven't really been hitting all that well, you know. So, no, not Bohm. I'm thinking about JT Realmuto. Castellanos. They haven't really been hitting that well. But they've been finding ways to win. And that's the thing. That's what people talk about when they talk about this team. The vibe up here is great. It's one of those things that when you go to the ballpark, it's always a party, and these guys always find a way to try to win. And that's been a huge factor for them this year. And I think that's because they did keep the team together.
It's a big Hugh Douglas, man, our man up in Philly. Hugh, I got so irked last year when they had that whole thing with Bryce Harper and Arcia, when he doubled them off at first base after the Money Harris catch, and all Arcia was saying, hey, way to go, Bryce. And then somebody in Philly had to go public with it. I just felt like the Phillies punked us. And Arcia should have just said, hey, blank you and let's go. It just seems like the Phillies are living rent-free, it seems like, certainly as a Braves fan in my head, because I feel like we just got to find a way to just stop it, change it. They've owned us the last two postseasons.
You know what? It's funny. I never wanted to say that because it's a lot of pride down there in Braves country, man. But, you know, when you hear some of the things, I'm not going to lie because, you know, I'm going to keep the beam with you. When Brian Snicker was talking about how the fans up in Philly, you know, picking with the wives and everything, and it's a tough place to play. You know, I'll tell you one thing, man. Being up here in Philadelphia, being back in Philadelphia, when you say stuff like that to the Philly fans, that's a badge of confidence. That's a badge of honor. Right. And they're going to do even more of that. When you let them know that they can get under your skin and live rent-free in your head, that's exactly what they're going to do. So what you got to do this weekend, it's funny because Abe called me a few days ago, and he said, how do you feel about this series this weekend? I said, well, let's get past the Cubs first. Let's see how you feel. Yeah. But, man, listen, coming down there to Atlanta – and knowing all of that and the way that they're probably talking about the Phillies in that locker room, this is going to be a very, very interesting series. And I can't wait to see how it's going to play out. You know, I don't like to make predictions, especially with a town where I lived in Atlanta, still got love for Atlanta, and I'm up here in Philadelphia. And I'm not about to, you know, cut my own drinks, but this is going to be a series, though, no question about it.
Hugh, man, let's talk about the Eagles. I want to know what people are saying. They drafted two corners, right? Quinyon Mitchell, yes. Cooper DeJean. And then, you know, the schedule, right? They start the season in Brazil, which is crazy. And then here we come on Monday Night Football in week two. So tell me what's going on with the Eagles, man, because they changed a lot on the coaching staff. Like, I'm looking at the schedule, and I want to believe, like, okay, I said to Mike, we're going to learn a lot about our Falcons in that second week of the season.
Definitely, because, like, going to Brazil, Green Bay is a pretty good football team. You know, they were in the playoffs last year. Jordan Love looked like he's made that leap that Jalen Hurts made the year before. So, man, that's going to be a tough game. But then, you know, coming back to Philadelphia, then having the A come to town, yo, all the folks that's coming from Atlanta coming up here, holler at me because, you know, I'll be in town. You know, we can probably hang out, show y'all where to go, get a nice little cheesesteak or something. But, yeah, man, on Monday night, you know, that's going to be a measuring stick. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, when you talk about Kirk Cousins coming off of that Achilles injury and Michael Penix probably not being ready, they're looking at that as a game where, you know, whatever happens in Brazil – if they lose in Brazil, they're looking at they can get that game against the Atlanta Falcons because they're still trying to figure out where they are.
Yeah.
But hey, man, it's Monday Night Football. Anything can happen. You know how it goes on Monday night.
Right. Well, it's always been tough, man. Like some of my most miserable afternoons have been up in Philadelphia watching the Falcons over the last 20 years. But yeah, Hugh, talk about, you know, Vic Fangio using all those Georgia Bulldogs, Kellen Moore getting Saquon Barkley to play with. I mean, we were amazed, and we talked to you last year watching Philadelphia implode. It was kind of fun last year, but I mean, it seems like there's so much talent. They got the right coaches. Were you going to figure it out this year? Nobody blows an 11-1 lead.
You know what? I'm excited. I'm excited about what could potentially be. You know what? We still haven't figured out what happened to this team last year, man. You know what? You ask guys. We had Jason Kelce on the show one day. And I asked him, I was like, dog, what happened? And he basically, you know, since he's working at ESPN, I put the ESPN hat on.
Yeah, yeah.
And talked about guys, you know, going into self-preservation mode and things of that nature. So I was like, we still don't know what happened. And then, you know, you have Jalen in press conferences saying cryptic things about the head coach and everything. Man, we still don't know what happened. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to hope, just like every other football fan, when the season starts, hope that they get it all together, man, and just get off to a great start. That's all you can hope for. We still don't know. We don't know how this season is going to play out for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and, you know, people talking about the Cowboys. I still think the Eagles are going to be the team to beat. I do think the Commanders will be improved, Hugh, but I'm with you. I mean, like, the thing that's
improved. You know, wait a minute, hold up, Carl. Do you know who their head coach is?
Dan Quinn.
Yes. You know Dan Quinn? Hold up. Now, listen.
Sergeant Slogan.
Hey, listen, and Orin's in the studio. I think Orin was in there. Dan Quinn got mad because we asked him about his job status. He ain't going to be able to take that heat in Washington.
We about
he ain't
going to
be able
see.
To take that heat, man.
Dude, we about to see. Listen, I think the personnel is better than a lot of people believe, and I think Kellen.
No, they got a pretty good defense,
They
man.
Do. They do.
The only thing, like, the only thing I can think of, Carl, last year when they was crying about – Eric Bieniemy coming in there, working them too hard. Remember that?
Yeah.
They crying about working hard. They ain't won nothing in ever, and they out there crying. Come on, man. You can't do that.
It was real. No, I get it. And then, you know, the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, man, I'm high on him. I feel like they'll be
with Kingsbury.
Yes. But to your point, like, we're about to learn. If DQ didn't learn from his experience in Atlanta, right, and he's not better this time around, it's going to be tough to get a third job, man. Like, this is it. You get this second opportunity, he's got to prove it. But point is, I still think the Eagles, across the board, man, are the better team. We're going to see Hugh. It's always love, man, to talk to you. We'll see what happens with the Phillies and the Braves this weekend.
Paul George going to the Sixers, too, man. I know we got a break, but that's got to be pretty tight for those Sixers fans, Hugh.
Man, listen, it was when you look at Paul George coming here, it was like, who was he going to get? LeBron? It was LeBron, Paul George, or Jimmy Butler. I mean, I'm okay with it, but we really have a whole lot to choose from between the three, because those are the big three names that are out there. You had to trade for Jimmy Butler, so, you know, we got Paul George. The city's excited. They're definitely excited about it, but, you know, who knows with Joel Embiid, because it's a whole lot of ifs and maybes when you talk about this basketball team. And the biggest if is if we can keep them healthy.
Yeah, Joel, that's the key, man, because he's an MVP if he's healthy. I'll say this. Y'all got a better player than damn James Harden. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely better than James Harden. He's definitely better than that.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man. Enjoy the weekend, Hugh, and thank you again, man.
Oh, not a problem, man. Anytime.
She belongs to the streets.
That's our boy.
Big Hugh Douglas hanging out with us, man. Mike, the thing about this series, he was talking about the Phillies, and we're going to come back and talk about this. We got Yeah Man, No Man on the way. You think there'll be some action this weekend? Between the Braves and the Phillies?
Again, the problem is it's a year too late. I needed Arcia when Bryce Harper was mugging him to walk right over and punch him right in the face.
Yep.
Didn't happen. Moment was lost, and they've been punking us ever since.
You're right. Yeah, man, no man's next. Because he was saying, you know, there could be some fireworks or whatever based on what happened at the, you know, last season or whatever. We started the season against these guys. We won 2 of 3. Max Fried did not pitch well. I think he only lasted like 2/3 of an inning. Mike, here's the deal. We're not scoring enough runs, okay, to be like trying to flex. We got to win. We got to win games. And honestly, I think more than anything, I'm not telling you that somebody might not get thrown at or something of that nature, but I just feel like, look, man, we're not playing that well. Like, we got to go win games. And so that, to me, should be the most pressing thing for the Braves, not necessarily revenge, if that's on your mind or, you know, you want to make a point. But to Mike's point earlier, a little bit too late. Like, the moment was lost, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, and look, I get it. You know, whenever I mention this, some guys will hit us up. Oh, that's just silly. That doesn't work. Well, you know what? There's things in baseball about momentum, and you can't quantify it. There's no stats for it. There's no whip for it, right? There's no war for it.
No,
I just felt, let's just take it back to where it was. you get a moment where Michael Harris makes that amazing play, and you double off Bryce as he had to run all the way back from third through second to first base, and Arcia just goes, nice job, Bryce. Ha, way to go. And some jerk reporter, now normally probably would never have gotten out of the locker room, out of the clubhouse, but a Philly guy made it a story, and they turned this, you know, Hugh talked about it. It was a rallying cry. I know it sounds, maybe sounds silly to some Braves fans, but they literally, remember him, Bryce Harper, mean mugging, staring at Arcia? I just felt like when you're not going to challenge a guy and you're, you know, I just, to me, you've got to step up. You know, yep. I just felt something had to happen. And look, Snicker is never going to throw at people. Look, I know that, you know, there's a lot of ways you can manage to get to a World Series, and Snicker did it perfectly in 21. Sometimes, though, you need to have a little Billy Martin in you or Earl Weaver. You know, we're not going to take this crap, you know? You know that, I just feel like we look soft. That's it. In a nutshell, I'm rambling to you, Carl. I think we look soft after that moment.
I agree. I didn't like it. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. But now is not the time. We got to win games. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some dogs. Also, we will get into the Falcons at 5 o'clock with the Falcon Report. Interesting stuff about the most important position and, you know, not necessarily the most important position, but the position we're concerned about, as Mike and I will run into that and get into that coming up. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle is off today, which means Big O has got Yeah Man, No Man. And Oren, I hope you had a good 4th of July, man. Did the kiddo enjoy it?
Yeah, so the fireworks show started a little bit later than his bedtime, so we were worried if he would, A, last until the fireworks show, and then, B, what would his state of mind kind of be when it started. But a little kind of, like, restless when it started, but then he realized there was cool stuff blowing up in the air, so he just sort of sat in the lap and just kind of pointed upwards, just like, yeah, he gets it. He gets it.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was cool watching him sort of experience that, and wasn't too frightened by the noise, which another thing we kind of thought of, too, because, like, these are very loud booms, but... Mm-hmm. Last night, it was kind of funny. His bedroom is situated in our house, kind of towards our backyard. And there were like 4 or 5 different firework shows going on last night. And we have noise that plays in his room, but the firework noise kind of just overpowers everything else going on. But yeah, slept through like 4 or 5 firework shows last night too. So like his kid is a... He's a champ. Like, when it comes to noise, he's all about, you know, I can handle it. So
that's what's up. I'm glad he enjoyed it. Yeah, you just, again, whether it's the pets or the kids, the children, you just don't know, man. Some kids, you know, kids in our cul-de-sac used to wear the headphones, right? Because it was so loud, and you didn't want to scare them. And it was like, hey, you're introducing them to this experience. But it can traumatize you, man, if you're not thinking about that. And so I'm glad that the little man was good.
We also found... We're finding out, too, just sort of his personality, and we're realizing at a very early age, Franklin is a huge flirt, a very huge flirt. We sat next to some teenage girls, some friends of my wife, and Franklin just kind of sat there and just turned his gazes completely towards them and just stared at them the entire time they were next to him, just like, very kind of coyly smiled at him, but yeah, just kind of like, yeah, I see y'all over there, but yeah, so that's going to be good luck for my wife and I in like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years when he's girl crazy, so that'll be fun, yes.
That's awesome. That kid is, like I said, he's like a darn cartoon character. He's so adorable.
Indeed. Starting off here with Yeah Man, No Man, guys, can I interest you in a Brad Pitt F1 movie?
Yes. Matter of fact, we saw them doing some stuff at the Miami race. He was down there. They filmed a lot of stuff at Silverstone, and they just filmed some more scenes. I can't wait to see this. Lewis Hamilton is one of the executive producers in it, basically playing if I read it right, Oren, kind of a washed-up race car driver brought back to mentor a young guy at F1. I can't wait to see this thing.
So, yeah, Sonny Hayes, I'm synopsis here. Sonny Hayes, a Formula One driver who raced in the 90s, has a horrible crash forcing him to retire from F1 and start racing in other disciplines. An F1 team owner and friend contacts him and asks him to come out of retirement to mentor a rookie prodigy on the Apex Grand Prix team. So, yeah. And the cool thing about this, too, I love when they do some movies. It's being filmed for IMAX, so the whole thing is going to be huge in terms of scale, which is going to be really cool, too.
Oh, yeah. So you got to go see it at an IMAX theater. Then.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And there's never been some. They did a Stallone did a movie that was pretty awful. It was involved IndyCar a couple of years ago. That and this one looks really. I mean, from what I've seen of it and some of the stuff they've done and how they're the authenticity and the way they're approaching this, I can't wait to see this thing because I think it's gonna should do well, especially with the, all the success, Carl, of Drive to Survive and all the interest in F1 these days.
Yeah, the way they film that, I did not know that, Oren, and that I think that it's gonna make it even cooler because you talk about taking you into the experience, right? That's the other part of it. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely interested. Yeah, man, no doubt.
Right. Moving right along here, guys. Every so often you get a quarterback or somebody in a press conference who will get asked a bad question or a question they don't want to answer, and they will react in a very negative way. Patrick Mahomes, though, has a secret when he deals with those negative questions. He was on with Rob Riggle and Rob Riggle's podcast, and he kind of lets you know, it takes you behind the curtain as to, like, whenever he gets asked one of those bad questions, this is how he handles it.
No, it does. It's part of it. It's part of the profession. It's part of being a quarterback and having to stand on that podium and talk, win or loss. And
yeah.
I think what I've done and I've mastered is being able to say a lot of words without saying anything at all. And so that's my go-to. Whenever I get a question that I might necessarily like, I'll just say a lot of different words, but it really means nothing.
So all right, let's run it right now. Ready?
Genius.
Yep.
Patrick, it was a great game out there. You guys really tried, and you came up short. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to get out there and do whatever you can to try to find a way to get a win. But at the same time, it's not always going to go your way. And so for us, it's about going back to the drawing board, putting in the work, and then seeing what we can do next week.
Yeah, man, no, man. The mastering of the art of the like just short speak in those press conferences by Patrick Mahomes here.
Well, Carl, remember that scene? I always joke around with Carl about it because you covered baseball for so many years. The scene in Bull Durham when Kevin Costner is talking to Nuke LaLoosh, right, and giving him like all the basic ridiculous, you know, cliches that you have to have as a baseball player for interviews. You're going to write these down. You're going to need this with Tim Robbins, and it's true. And it's basically that's exactly what Patrick Mahomes just told you. It's there for.
It is. I agree. There is an art to it. And here's the deal. Because they like Patrick, and I'm not saying they, I'm talking about the media that covers him, they're not going to press him. So he can get away with that. It's not, Mike, he's not in New York. He's in Kansas City. They love him. He's a Super Bowl champion, MVP, yada, yada, yada. He can get away with that. Like, if they were losing, maybe it might be different, but I think Patrick has won so much, he doesn't really know what it's like to be pressed. So those questions, he's just kind of talking around him. I totally agree. I think there's an art to it.
If he was in New York, though, do you think his vibe would be completely different?
Yes.
As to how he dealt with those questions in those press conferences?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Eli does the same thing, though. Eli, I mean, the Mannings, you know, in their own way, but Eli basically handled the New York media the same. Remember that one picture, Carl, where Eli was the first guy in the media room
right after a big playoff loss? Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and he, but Eli's a master at saying nothing, too. There's an art form to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. On that note, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. So I'm going to hit some music.
All right. Good stuff, Big O. Coming up, guys, we'll talk some dogs. Who could be the number one overall pick next year? We'll talk about what Dan Lanning is doing at Oregon because he's doing some things. Coming up, also, the Falcon Report. No Steve Kuhner today in the 4 o'clock hour, guys. We got word about an hour ago, and so he is out this week, but he will join us next week. Got some business stuff going on and just unable to make the show today. So we'll get to Steve and some Hawk Talk next week. 404-726-0929. As we started the show, big series tonight that starts at Truist Park with the Braves, Phillies. We will get back into that as well because I think it's the biggest series of the season. It's Dukes and Bell. Because he was saying, you know, there could be some fireworks or whatever based on what happened at the, you know, last season or whatever. We started the season against these guys. We won 2 of 3. Max Fried did not pitch well. I think he only lasted like 2/3 of an inning. Mike, right. Here's the deal. We're not scoring enough runs, okay, to be like trying to flex. We got to win. We got to win games. And right. Honestly, I think more than anything, I'm not telling you that somebody might not get thrown at or something of that nature, but I just feel like, look, man, we're not playing that well. Like, we got to go win games. And so that, to me, should be the most pressing thing for the Braves, not necessarily revenge, if that's on your mind or, you know, you want to make a point. But to Mike's point earlier, a little bit too late. Like, the moment was lost, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, and look, I get it. You know, whenever I mention this, some guys will hit us up. Like, oh, that's just silly. That doesn't work. Well, you know what? There's things in baseball about momentum, and you can't quantify it. There's no stats for it. There's no whip for it, right? There's no war for it.
No.
No, I just felt, let's just take it back to where it was. You get a moment where Michael Harris makes that amazing play, and you double off Bryce as he had to run all the way back from third through second to first base. And RC just goes, nice job, Bryce. Ha, way to go. And some jerk reporter, now normally probably would never have gotten out of the locker room, out of the clubhouse, but a Philly guy made it a story. And they turned this, you talked about it. It was a rallying cry. I know it sounds silly to some Braves fans, but they literally, remember him, Bryce Harper, mean mugging, staring at RC? I just felt like when you're not going to challenge a guy and you're, to me, you've got to step up. You know, yep. I just felt something had to happen. And look, Snicker is never going to throw at people. Look, I know that, there's a lot of ways you can manage to get to a World Series, and Snicker did it perfectly in 21. Sometimes, though, you need to have a little Billy Martin in you or Earl Weaver. You know, we're not going to take this crap, that, I just feel like we look soft. That's it. In a nutshell, I'm rambling to you, Carl. I think we look soft after that moment.
I agree. I didn't like it. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. But now is not the time. We got to win games. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some dogs. Also, we will get into the Falcons at 5 o'clock with the Falcon Report. Interesting stuff about the most important position and, not necessarily the most important position, but the position we're concerned about, as Mike and I will run into that and get into that coming up. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle is off today, which means Big O has got Yeah Man, No Man. And Oren, I hope you had a good 4th of July, man. Did the kiddo enjoy it?
Yeah, so the fireworks show started a little bit later than his bedtime, so we were worried if he would, A, last until the fireworks show, and then, B, what would his state of mind kind of be when it started. But a little kind of, restless when it started, but then he realized there was cool stuff blowing up in the air, so he just sort of sat in the lap and just kind of pointed upwards, just like, yeah, he gets it. He gets it.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was cool watching him sort of experience that, and wasn't too frightened by the noise, which another thing we kind of thought of, too, because, these are very loud booms, but last night, it was kind of funny. His bedroom is situated in our house, kind of towards our backyard. And there were four or five different firework shows going on last night. And we have noise that plays in his room, but the firework noise kind of just overpowers everything else going on. But yeah, slept through four or five firework shows last night too. So his kid is a champ. When it comes to noise, he's all about, I can handle it. So
that's what's up. I'm glad he enjoyed it. Yeah, you just, again, whether it's the pets or the kids, the children, you just don't know, man. Some kids, kids in our cul-de-sac used to wear the headphones, right? Because it was so loud and you didn't want to scare them. And it was like, hey, you're introducing them to this experience. But it can traumatize you, man, if you're not thinking about that. And so I'm glad that the little man was good.
We also found, we're finding out, too, just sort of his personality, and we're realizing at a very early age, Franklin is a huge flirt, a very huge flirt. We sat next to some teenage girls, some friends of my wife, and Franklin just kind of sat there and just turned his gazes completely towards them and just stared at them the entire time they were next to him, just very kind of coyly smiled at him, but yeah, just kind of like, yeah, I see y'all over there, but yeah, so that's going to be good luck for my wife and I in, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years when he's girl crazy, so that'll be fun, yes.
That's awesome. That kid is, like I said, he's like a darn cartoon character. He's so adorable.
Indeed. Start off here with Yeah Man, No Man, guys. Can I interest you in a Brad Pitt F1 movie?
Yes. Matter of fact, we saw them doing some stuff at the Miami race. He was down there. They filmed a lot of stuff at Silverstone, and they just filmed some more scenes. I can't wait to see this. Lewis Hamilton is one of the executive producers in it, basically playing a, if I read it right, Oren, kind of a washed-up race car driver brought back to mentor a young guy in F1. I can't wait to see this thing.
So, yeah, Sonny Hayes, I'm synopsis here. Sonny Hayes, a Formula One driver who raced in the 90s, has a horrible crash forcing him to retire from F1 and start racing in other disciplines. An F1 team owner and friend contacts him and asks him to come out of retirement to mentor a rookie prodigy. on the Apex Grand Prix team. So, yeah. And the cool thing about this, too, I love when they do some movies. It's being filmed for IMAX, so the whole thing is going to be huge in terms of scale, which is going to be really cool, too.
Oh, yeah. So you got to go see it at an IMAX theater. Right. Okay.
Right. And there's never been some. They did a Stallone did a movie that was pretty awful. It was involved IndyCar a couple of years ago. And this one looks really. I mean, from what I've seen of it, and some of the stuff they've done, and how they're the authenticity and the way they're approaching this, I can't wait to see this thing because I think it's gonna should do well, especially with all the success, Carl, of Drive to Survive and all the interest in F1 these days.
Yeah, the way they film that I did not know that, Oren, and that I think that it's gonna make it even cooler because you talk about taking you into the experience, right? That's the other part of it. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely interested. Yeah, man, no doubt.
Right. Moving right along here, guys. Every so often you get a quarterback or somebody in a press conference who will get asked a bad question or a question they don't want to answer, and they will react in a very negative way. Patrick Mahomes, though, has a secret when he deals with those negative questions. He was on with Rob Riggle on the Rob Riggle's podcast, and he kind of lets you know, it takes you behind the curtain as to, like, whenever he gets asked one of those bad questions, this is how he handles it.
No, it does. It's part of it. It's part of the profession. It's part of being a quarterback and having to stand on that podium and talk, win or loss. And
yeah.
I think what I've done and I've mastered is being able to say a lot of words without saying anything at all. And so that's my go-to. Whenever I get a question that I might necessarily like, I'll just say a lot of different words, but it really means nothing.
So all right, let's run it right now. Ready?
Genius.
Yep.
Patrick, it was a great game out there. You guys really tried, and you came up short. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to get out there and do whatever you can to try to find a way to get a win. But at the same time, it's not always going to go your way. And so for us, it's about going back to the drawing board, putting in the work, and then seeing what we can do next week.
Yeah, man, no, man. The mastering of the art of the like just short speak in those press conferences by Patrick Mahomes here.
Well, Carl, remember that scene? I always joke around with Carl about it because you covered baseball for so many years. The scene in Bull Durham when Kevin Costner is talking to Newt Gallusch, right, and giving him like all the basic ridiculous cliches that you have to have as a baseball player for interviews. And you're going to write these down. You're going to need this with Tim Robbins, and it's true. And it's basically that's exactly what Patrick Mahomes just told you. It's there for.
It is. I agree. There is an art to it. And here's the deal. Because they like Patrick, and I'm not saying they, I'm talking about the media that covers him, they're not going to press him. So he can get away with that. It's not, Mike, he's not in New York. He's in Kansas City. They love him. He's a Super Bowl champion, MVP, yada, yada, yada. He can get away with that. Like, if they were losing, maybe it might be different, but I think Patrick has won so much, he doesn't really know what it's like to be pressed. So those questions, he's just kind of talking around him. I totally agree. I think there's an art to it.
If he was in New York, though, do you think his vibe would be completely different?
Yes.
Ask you how he dealt with those questions in those press conferences?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Eli does the same thing, though. Eli, I mean, the Mannings, in their own way, but Eli basically handled the New York media the same. Remember that one picture, Carl, where Eli was the first guy in the media room?
He waited for a big playoff loss? Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and he, but Eli's a master at saying nothing, too. There's an art form to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. On that note, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. So I'm going to hit some music.
All right. Good stuff, Big O. Coming up, guys, we'll talk some dogs. Who could be the number one overall pick next year? We'll talk about what Dan Lanning is doing in Oregon because he's doing some things. Coming up also, the Falcon Report. No Steve Kuhner today in the 4 o'clock hour, guys. We got word about an hour ago, and so he is out this week, but he will join us next week. Got some business stuff going on and just unable to make the show today. So we'll get to Steve and some Hawk Talk next week. 404-726-0929. As we started the show, big series tonight that starts at Truist Park with the Braves Phillies. We will get back into that as well because I think it's the biggest series of the season. It's Dukes and Bell.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.